Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
For obvious reasons, we keep this place as gloomy as possible.
Welcome to Mind Poppers Podcast.
We are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies.
Once you get used to these grim surroundings, you'll never leave. Nobody ever does.
We continue now with tonight's case, Conspiracy.
Now. Listen.
Welcome back to the Mind Poppers Podcast. This is a public episode, okay? Now, we don't do public episodes too often. It's all, you know, on our Patreon. It's all on a need-to-know basis. But this is a public episode, and it's a public episode for all of my brokies out there, okay? Shout out brokies, right? Now, we do a brand new episode every week over on our Patreon, every Saturday. But I understand that, you know, sometimes things like Patreon are not accessible to brokies, and I get that, that's totally fair, but you can still, if you enjoy the podcast, you can still support Mind Poppers by giving us a review on Spotify, giving us a review on Apple, giving us a review on whatever service you're streaming, you're listening on. It really helps push the podcast further and really helps more people get to it, blah, 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 you know, I gotta run them coins up. Now, you must forgive, again, people listening to the Patreon will know that I am in various Airbnbs at the minute, so the sound quality may be a little at times. So please forgive that. Because like I was saying, those of you who listened to the last couple of Patreon episodes will know that I am currently recording from an Airbnb. This is actually a new Airbnb from the last one. An Airbnb in Alberta, okay? The Texas of the North in Canada. Is what they call it, okay? So those of you who listened to the last Patreon episode heard me basically podcast through a home invasion, okay? A fucking home invasion. I had to podcast through while some crackhead tried to break through, okay? So if you want to hear that go down live, you can head over to the Patreon. Some crackhead beating in my door. And, you know, again, it's just stressful enough. But, like any, you know, big move, I'm going through a lot, you know, a lot of emotions, a lot of feelings or whatever. But like when you are feeling overwhelmed, okay, I have found largely that the universe is a funny way of kicking you in the dick for good measure. Because I'm new to Canada, okay? I don't know how you people operate, you know, whatever, you do you. But someone, right, please explain to me why I woke up this morning, walked out my front door, you know, with the best of intentions, hello world, you know, inhale, right, and then I collapse onto the fucking floor, okay, straight down to the cobbles, because outside is covered in smoke, and the smell of burn, because apparently there are wildfires going on all around us, right? So I go online this morning to see what's going on. And I see, right, that they said that the air quality index, okay, whatever the fuck that is, the air quality index was at a 10. So it was not safe to go outside, right? Which basically means if you go outside when the air is this polluted, you will die, okay? Trust and believe, you will die. And nobody told me about this when I was applying for my visa, okay? Welcome to Canada, breathe and you will die. So it's a lot, you know? I'm not used to living in a place where I have to check the fucking air pollution, the air quality, do you know? Back in good old Cove, you know? Sleepy, beautiful island at the bottom of Ireland, you know? The jewel of the sea. We didn't have to worry about the air. We had to worry about the water. A lot of cancer in the water, okay? which is, it is an Erin Brockovich, you know, waiting to happen. But you knew not to go into the water. That's fine. You can avoid the water. Okay? You can't avoid the fucking air. So, you know, it's a lot. And I snuck out the back for a quick rollie, you know, a couple of minutes ago, right? And between the amber leaf now and the smog, I'd say it took about 20 years off my life with that one cigarette, okay? And now the issue is I'm paranoid, right? And I'm paranoid because I'm locked in this Airbnb with no AC. So I'm like, surely the smog, the smoke and the pollution is just creeping under the doors. Like, this fear all day. Again, I'm just getting paranoid. But I have this fear, like, that my housemate could come home, right, in a few hours. To me, just dead in the kitchen floor from, like, carbon monoxide poisoning, you know? And again, I was looking into it, and apparently I learned that this morning they have something over here called the AQHI, which is the Air Quality Health Index. And right now it is a 10, which is classified as very high risk. Doesn't go any higher than the 10, actually. A very high risk of what? I don't know, you know? But like I said, it doesn't go any higher than a 10, and I am freaked, okay? I'm actually starting to feel lightheaded as well as I'm speaking. I could drop dead on air. I could drop dead on air. You know, it's all kind of, the last couple of podcasts has been very hectic, very chaotic, you know. It's just one of those things, you know, that I would have appreciated a heads up on. You know, like, you're welcome to come over and work for 2 years. Just don't inhale, okay? Or your lungs will explode. So it's a lot, you know. And then to add insult to injury, my next door neighbor has his BBQ on, his barbecue, right? And I'm not sure if he's cooking or he's burning rubbish, right? But there are pummels of smoke. And I'm just here, like, with my head over the vents, being like, excuse me, sir, are you fucking sick in the head? You know? The air is literally on fire over here right now, okay? And people don't seem to give a fuck. So it's a lot, okay? It is a lot. I didn't really want to get into it with that neighbor, okay? Because, like I said, if you listen to the other Patreon episode, the place we were staying was a little ghetto, you know? But whatever. And okay, not to be a total Joan the Moan, but aside from the shitty air, right, there is also something that concerns me. The fact that I am now living in a place, again, so many culture shocks when you move over, okay, across the Atlantic. I believe it's the Atlantic. But it's the fact that I'm now living in a place that has apex predators, okay? I just get more freaked out every time I read about it, right? Because there are polar bears here, okay? Polar bears. Like, give me a fucking break. Where am I living, right? Where there's polar bears. There's grizzly bears. There's black bears. There's mountain lions, wolves, coyotes, and wolverines, okay? Like, seriously, are we having a fucking laugh? You know, there's just this whole, my rad, am I using that word correctly? I don't know. But there is just so many things over here that can kill me, you know? And like, I go walking every evening in the woods that kind of runs parallel to the river, the Saskatchewan River, if you don't mind. And I'm afraid to keep my AirPods in, you know, in case there's something creeping up behind me to devour me, you know? Like, I'm okay, I suppose, with the wolves, because I feel like I would befriend them. I feel like I would have a very close kinship with the wolves. But you know what? It's the thought of being stalked by a mountain lion. No, thank you. Because I've been reading up on these mountain lions, okay? Apparently they stalk their prey, and you will only see them when they want you to see them, to psych you out, okay, to get in your head. They'll follow you all the way, and maybe you'll hear a little rustle here, a little snap of a twig there, but you will only see them. They might even eat you straight away, but they will, like, appear in, like, random little places behind you, in front of you, what have you, just to freak you out, to get into your head, because they want you to know. They want you to know that they're stalking you, okay? Which, again, terrifying. You know, so I do have that on my mind. And obviously, right, the big three over here being polar bears, the grizzly bears and the black bears, right? Now, I shared these concerns with some local Albertians, I think that's what they're called. And they told me that this rhyme, I think they teach it to kids, but it would help me if I encountered bears, right? So I think it was something like, if it's brown, lay down. If it's black, attack. And if it's white, good night. Okay? So if you see a brown bear or a grizzly, a brown bear grizzly, you're never supposed to run. You're just supposed to lay down on the ground. You see this big mat, and these things are, they're like the size of cars. Okay, these grizzlies, these brown bears. You're supposed to lay in the ground, okay? Like, I'm sorry. No matter the rhyme, no matter the best advice available, okay? If I see a grizzly bear, okay, the second I see a grizzly bear, I'm hopping, I'm skipping, and I'm twirling through them trees like a fucking spider monkey, okay? Like, lie down, okay? As if. Even if that is the proper advice, I just know that if I see a big fucking grizzly bear, I'm not going to lie down, okay? I'm not going to lie down on the ground like it's not a fucking mugging. You know, I'm there to be eaten, okay? He doesn't want my wallet. Then, again, I'm sure I could be mixing up this rhyme somewhere. When it comes to black bears, I think you attack. You attack. So you'll see a black bear, and you have to attack it, I guess, okay? I don't know why that's the rhyme, okay? And, like, that's all I need now, okay? It's to be, like, swinging some bear around the woods, you know? I'd be like Goldilocks, okay? I'd be like that cunt. Blow in his front door and wreck the gaff. And then I guess for polar bear, they say if it's white, good night. Because apparently there is no escaping a polar bear, okay? They will kill you dead. And they won't think twice about it, apparently. There's a lot going on right now in my head. There is just a lot going on. I feel like this country is attacking me from all angles, if I'm being honest, okay? Because it's like the air is trying to kill me, okay? There's wildfire. There's fucking animals, mountain lions, bears, whatever, trying to kill me. There's so much going on over here that is trying to kill me, yet I persevere, okay? Yet I persevere, because at the end of the world, there will be the cockroaches, and there will be the Mind Poppers podcast, and the listeners, okay? And the hosts. Now, as if all of those things weren't enough to kill me, right? I've been, you know, jumping into a little bit of the folklore here and the mythology. And it does seem a little different than back home. And I'm going to get into it, okay? Because I don't know if you guys have ever heard stories of like the Appalachian Mountains and things like that, the Appalachian Trail. There seems to be, especially in the Americas, the North Americas especially, there seems to be these like very almost, I guess you could associate them with kind of like Bermuda Triangles, but they're inland. They're not in water. They seem to be deep in wooded areas where kind of like no one lives, or it's like extremely sparsely populated by humans. And there seems to be these kind of like center areas that have just this crazy amount of paranormal activity recorded that you really, you know, you shouldn't see in such sparsely populated areas. You shouldn't see this amount of, I guess paranormal activity isn't the word for it. It's close, but it's like, it's weird because you see in a lot of these areas, people have real convictions and beliefs about what goes on in these woods over here. You know, it's not like a fairy tale. A lot of people, you know, fear it, and a lot of people will take it, you know, for word, and, you know, will kind of like make precautions to avoid these things in the woods over here. A lot of it stems from Native American, and I believe over here in Canada, they refer to like their Native American, their native population over here. I think they call them First Nation people. And then, of course, they have the tribes, the Native tribes and things like that. And a lot of their mythology, I guess, and their Canadian folklore stems from them, obviously, being the First Nation people. And maybe these were the people who had the most first-hand account with these alleged beings that stalk the woods, because obviously, you know, they're a more spiritual kind of, I guess, being in terms of living off the land and having a close relationship, working relationship with Mother Nature and things like that. So it is weird. It almost kind of like takes me back to olden days, Greece and Rome, where their mythology, you know, wasn't necessarily a mythology, but it was, you know, it was a real thing for them, where, you know, they didn't have electricity. They were going out to these dark streets at night if they had to travel somewhere. And yes, they were afraid in case they had to run into a minotaur, or in case they came across a gorgon or a god or a demigod or a kraken or, you know, whatever. There does seem to be this old kind of belief over here of the dangers of what lurks in the woods. And it's not just the bears, the coyotes, the wolves, etc. There seems to be a belief over here that something else stalks the woods. And a lot of things stalking the woods over here. But one thing that did capture my attention was apparently a creature that lives in the woods over here. And apparently a creature that has been spotted and active, has a history in kind of area very close to me where I'm living right now. So again, I want to be aware. I want to be on ready, you know? It's a creature referred to.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's the Wendigo. So what they say, to give you a basic idea, but the Wendigo is a creature, right? Sometimes referred to as like an evil spirit, right? It's said to be up to about 15 feet tall, with a body that is like thin, like extremely thin, right? With the skin pulled so tight that its bones are visible, right? Well, many of the native legends view it as, like, say, a spirit of greed and gluttony and insatiable hunger, right? Because it's a flesh-eating beast that is, it's considered, like, you're most likely to encounter a Wendigo during the colder months, during the winter months, right? And its presence, they say, is easily felt and smelt, okay? Because it's been described as having a distinct smell of rot and decay due to its skin being ripped and unclean, okay? So like it produces overwhelming urge of greed and an insatiable want in the people that it comes across. Most notably, it's not really one to chase or seek after its prey, they say about the Wendigo. Instead, the most horrifying thing, apart from the appearance of the Wendigo, it has its terrifying mimicry skill, okay? So it often, right, mimics human voices, screams, and loved ones, or anything that might entice its victim to come to it. Now, in some cases, it is believed that the Wendigo is a spirit, right, that can possess other humans and fill them with this greed and selfishness, etc., turning them into Wendigos. So there does seem to be two sides of the Wendigo. There's this one physical being which sometimes is described to have like hooved feet, this really tall humanoid body, again going up to 15 feet, where the skin is so, what we would kind of describe as, I guess, like malnourished and so thin that the skin like weaves within the bones. It's like extremely emaciated. Sometimes it's described as having like the head of a deer, like say would like a rotting skull, but the antlers. Then some people might say that that's a mask that the Wendigo puts on, maybe that you haven't seen its face, kind of a thing. Extremely tall, like they're meant to be extremely strong and powerful and quick. Then obviously you have this, I guess, spirit side to them, or this non-physical side, where they're almost kind of act in a way of like possession and things like that. I guess the most terrifying thing is you do hear a lot of accounts of people walking in the woods and over here, especially in the colder months, and they'll hear a loved one call out to them in the woods, and that loved one could be dead, or that loved one could be, you know, say miles and miles away back at home. You know, you could be the only one in the woods. And of course, when you hear your loved one call out in the woods, your natural instinct is to move towards them, you know, to find them, because it's your loved one. And then you end up like turning a corner or whatever, and you see this like 15 foot, like non-human beast staring at you, and you hear your loved one's voice coming out of, it's meant to have real snarled big jaws, real like razor sharp teeth, rows and rows of razor sharp teeth coming from this like rotting like deer skull, and it all just looks wrong. And you hear your loved one's voice coming out of that. Again, it's to lure you in. And it's not that the Wendigo lacks the power, the strength or whatever to hunt you. If it wanted to hunt you, it would hunt you. But there's something about luring. It likes to lure people to it. Again, that's just what the stories are saying, the accounts are saying. And this, again, the weird thing about the Wendigo and other creatures that I'm not going to get into on this episode, but the weird thing is that, like, it's not necessarily, I mean, again, I guess it depends on who you're asking. It doesn't seem to be like a story, a fairy tale or whatever. Like, people here go into the woods and they have these experiences, which is just really weird, okay? It's really weird. There's a lot of places over here with these big forests, and again, having this old kind of, I guess, relationship to the native population, the first people, where it seems to be, some people might argue, like portals or whatever, or I guess paranormal hotbeds. That's why I did refer to it, say, as like the Bermuda Triangle of these, oh, but they're deep in forests, okay? And I had to look into it. I did, because I'm going to find myself there, you know? I just know it, right? So I looked into a couple of encounters, some real life encounters that people claim that they had with Wendigos, or at least what they perceived to be Wendigos. So we're going to get into that, okay, to see what we're dealing with. Encounter one. So the heading of this story that this user submitted was, I encountered something and I am genuinely scared to leave my home. On May 9th of this year, I went on a walk in the patch of woods near my house in northern Wisconsin with my dog and older sister. My father recently passed away, and in an attempt to reconnect with my family, I took matters into my own hands and invited them all over for a week. Only my sister showed, and I wasn't planning on anyone else showing. My sister had always been the stereotypical blue-haired, short astrology girl, and believes in everything you can think about, When we were 12 and 14, she took me to her friend's house to hunt a skinwalker that just turned out to be a stray dog. And since then, we haven't really done anything in the woods due to her sudden urge to stay inside and smoke pot for months. But that's besides the point. We were walking along a path around dusk and it started to get very cold. We decided that we should set up camp as we were too far away from home. We wouldn't get back before 6 a.m. and I didn't feel like hanging out in the darkness. After setting up a small fire and tent, she called it a night and I tended to the fire. Roughly 2 hours after she fell asleep, I went to relieve myself behind a large dead tree. After coming back to camp, I noticed that there was a foul, almost rotten smell around the camp. I reached for my bag to get some incense and realised my bag was missing. I panicked for a second until I saw it near the edge of the light made by my fire. Then, thinking of nothing of it, I stood up. As I walked over towards the bag, I froze. My bag was slowly being dragged farther out of the light by a very pale, human-like hand. This hand was in no way human, as I came to my senses and noticed the large claws and shiny glass-like skin that seemed to be covered in a clear liquid. "Who's there? Give me back my bag," I said while reaching for my pistol in my belt. Just as I fully unsheathed my pistol, the hand suddenly recoiled. However, now I could see a face. A large, terrifying face with milky white skin and eyes with the bluest veins under the eyes. I saw that the thing's tongue was long and was the only thing moving other than the trees in the wind. Its antlers were black, long, and crusted, like they were made of mold. I lost it. I shot the damn thing with the muzzle flash. I saw a massive deer-like humanoid that must have been 7 or 8 feet tall. I fell to the ground, covering my ears as the creature let out a loud scream, sounding like a moose that had been shoved into a meat grinder alive. My sister was awake at this point because nobody could sleep through what we heard, the sound that creature made. When I came to my senses, I thought the creature was going to charge me, but instead it hit off the right side of the tent, which toppled over, and then faster than I could see, headed off back into the woods. We wanted to get out of there. We wanted to get out of there more than anything, but we couldn't, because we knew that if we left now for home, it would involve walking through the woods in the pitch dark where that creature was. Instead, we stood our ground and turned our existing campfire into a bonfire to light as much of the wood around us as possible. Eventually, I fell asleep with my Glock 19 in my hands, which I was itching to shoot anything that moved. I awoke to my sister shaking me at what must have been around 10 a.m. as the sun was already well in the sky. After getting our belongings, we began walking back to the house, checking our surroundings as we went. We didn't want that thing to follow us back home and torment us there. When we were able to see the light coming from my yard lights, which I forgot to turn off, I froze. On top of my shed, there was a gutted, what seemed to be, a deer without its hind legs. We dropped our stuff and ran to the house where we called the police. I got fined for wasting their time. I tried to forget this and move on with my life, but on the 19th of this month, I saw that thing in my fucking yard, digging a hole with a dead deer that was on its broad, pale, skinny shoulders. It was staring at me. It saw me. It saw me. I blinked and it was gone. I know what I saw. I need help. I have 3 guns in my home, not including my pistol, which I always have on me. Should I try and kill this thing? Please help me. Ooh! Spooky. Okay? So spooky, right? And these are people, for the most part, who are encountering these, you know, so-called Wendigos, these creatures. You know, they're people of the land. They're people who are living in remote areas. You know, they got their guns, you know. And of course, these are people, these are usually people like they're hunters, okay? So, you know, they're used to animals. They're used to, you know, they say they saw what they saw, you know, and it freaked them out. And especially, again, that this thing didn't kill them. It could have killed them. Instead, just made its presence known, but then was waiting for them. Well, according to this guy, when they got back to his property, there was, say, a dead carcass, a dead deer carcass, lying on top of the shed, okay? Just left there. That's why how they knew that the Wendigo had been. And then again, for the Wendigo to appear again for them in the yard, something ain't right. Something ain't right. That would freak me out. And there are hundreds of people who have these sightings, especially in these rural areas, of these creatures. It is beyond freaky, okay? Now, I have another encounter, okay? Encounter number two. And the heading of this story that the person wrote in was Possible Wendigo Encounter in Southern Ontario. I originally posted this on the Skinwalkers page, but figured I'd post it here too. Hi, everyone. Had a very strange encounter in my woods today and thought I'd share and get some opinions. For some background, I live in a small town between Toronto and Ottawa, on traditional Anishinaabe islands. I usually walk my dog every day, sometimes multiple times a day, all throughout my woods. I decided to take my dog out for a walk this afternoon and put my headphones in. I usually do because, as I stated, I walk there every day. As we were walking, I heard a voice call my name in an almost sing-song voice. Naturally, I stopped and looked around. I called for my dog to come to me, and he stopped where he was and stared at me for a while, and then eventually came to me. I did not call out to the voice or acknowledge it. I walked around a little more and still didn't see anything. Just for some context, I live with my parents, and my mom knows I am totally freaked out about skinwalkers. I had a bonfire a few nights ago, and she hid and was calling out trying to freak me out. I figured since she knew I was by myself, she was trying to freak me out, and it did sound similar to her voice. As I continued walking and looking, I heard, "Come over here." As soon as I heard it, I was instantly freaked out, because not only did this sound further away than when my name was called, I knew that the myth goes that when they sound close, they're far away, and vice versa. But the scariest thing of all was that it sounded like my own voice saying it. I also heard this call out much more clearly than when my name was called. Anyways, I didn't acknowledge the voice, and making sure my dog was with me, I got the hell out of there. When I got to the house, no one had been outside. No one had called for me. My family has lived on this property for generations, and we live outside a very small town. I have no neighbors that would be close enough for me to hear them clearly. I have no idea what was out there this afternoon, but I can tell you for certain I will never walk again out there with my headphones on. I also feel like it's worth mentioning that my sister has been whistling out there to freak me out, and I know that supposedly attracts them. I did also smoke shortly before walking, but I've been smoking daily for years, and I've never suffered from auditory hallucinations or heard any sort of voices while high. I've never posted on here before, but if I have any other experiences, I'll be sure to post them. Can honestly say that was the weirdest experience of my life. Ooh. Now, That story is freaky because it kind of showcases the voices, okay? The ability to mimic. Now, this guy was stoned, okay? But still, you know, some people say that when you are stoned, you are more in tune with the spiritual realm, okay? Because all kind of psychedelics, you know, were used to kind of cross that barrier between worlds, to let the human mind, the human consciousness, become more open to the supernatural, we'll say. But the fact that the voice, for originally called his name in a voice that he thought sounded like his mother, but then originally said, "Come over here," in his own voice, freaky. Because you're going to know your own voice. Imagine the blood chillingness. Imagine how cold your blood would go. Imagine that feeling of hearing a voice somewhere you can't see speak to you in your own voice. Because you might think that you're not going to recognize your own voice, but you will. When you hear a creature speak in your voice, I imagine that has to be a fear like no other, okay? And like I was saying, right, I'm currently residing in Alberta, Canada, okay? And the Wendigo, like I was saying earlier on, is apparently meant to stalk the woods in my area, okay? So on one particular website, right, it was called castleofspirits.com, right? There's claims that the legend of the Wendigo, I guess maybe if you want to call it the first, maybe like recorded, or I guess maybe the first incident of the Wendigo, maybe outside of the First Nations, because obviously this is a creature that they have been dealing with for hundreds, if not thousands of years. But this particular legend, right, claims back to the 1920s, right, when a strange creature haunted the woods around Fort Kent. Now, Fort Kent is close to me, and it's just a small, sleepy little town, right? And apparently this creature, this Wendigo that stalked the woods, was blamed for a few disappearances and the animal deaths in the 1920s, right? So it expands on the legend further, right? Saying that a rancher in Fort Kent heard moaning wails, so left his home with a rifle to protect his horses from whatever creature was attacking them, and saw a very large, dark shape with glowing red eyes shambling towards him, right? So the rancher shot at the creature, which apparently annoyed it, and wandered back to the forest. So this particular site, right, this Fort Kent, it's a small settlement in northern Alberta, right? But to build on that legend in Fort Kent, again, which is right on my doorstep, it talks about a doctor, right? So a doctor was settling in Fort Kent, right, after one of the world wars, and a smallpox epidemic had decimated the town and killed his wife as well, right? And he was so overcome by grief, he locked himself in his home with her body for days. He refused to come out, and he ended up eating his wife's corpse, okay? And if some versions of the story maintain that the Wendigo is a native legend, a spirit that possesses the body of a person that is overcome by, you know, strong emotion, by grief. And the Wendigo, there's different, we don't really have time today to get into the origins of where the Wendigo actually comes from, but it does have its ties in this kind of grief and cannibalistic kind of urges that would basically have someone turning into a Wendigo, I guess, or making that like full transition, whether that's through the possession of the Wendigo spirit or whatever, right? So according to the legend in Fort Kent, when this doctor emerged from his home days later, the doctor himself slaughtered the remaining Fort Kent residents, leaving only 11 alive. Okay? That's on my doorstep. Hello? You know, that is on my doorstep. And you know what? I'm sick shit of it, okay? If I'm being honest, right? Like I don't have enough to be dealing with between fucking apex predators and fucking wildfire smog, right? Now I have to be worrying about fucking Wendigos, right? And like I said on the Patreon episode, people over here just love to hang out in the woods by a creek or river or a lake. So there are going to be times when I'm balls deep in the middle of Bally fucking nowhere and I'm freaked. Especially because they say that the Wendigo can mimic voices, which is going to be dangerous, right? Because if I hear my own voice coming from the middle of the woods, my first instinct is going to be like, oh, sure, someone must be listening to the Mind Poppers podcast, you know? And there's me, Boo Boo the Fool, heading into the woods thinking I'm about to do like an impromptu meet and greet, you know? Only to get guzzled up by a 10-foot Wendigo, you know? Well, fuck me anyway, okay? Like, imagine, like, me going over, like, hello, you know? Hello, how you doing? You know? Adam O'Reilly, I take it you're a fan of the Mind, and then, oh, 2 seconds later, I'm a pile of fucking bones, okay? Podcasting has never been such a dangerous career than it is now, okay? Now, I have to say that I am freaked by this Wendigo, okay? It warrants further investigation. And, like, people here on the weekends, they, like, head off into the woods, okay? They love heading off into the woods and staying in, like, these little rickety cabins in the middle of nowhere, surrounded by just miles and miles and miles of woods, or tents in the same way. And in these areas, especially the area that I'm in, where this, it seems to be, like, a hyper, you know, supernatural activity seems to be taking place. And I just know it's going to be me. Of course it's going to be me who gets my ass ate. Not like that, but I hope like that. So yeah, it'll be cool if I could maybe do a little recording from the woods when we do head in. Because I know there's talk already about heading in for like little excursions and whatever overnight. So I guess I could bring maybe some podcast equipment with me and see what we pick up. Now, like I said, I could have done so much more on the Wendigo, you know. There's just so many more stories and their alleged origins are fascinating. So it's something we might revisit, and I would love to delve deeper into more Canadian folklore and maybe some cryptozoology. And I want to look at some Canadian hauntings as well, especially in the area that I'm in. There's a lot going on. It seems to be a bit of a paranormal hotbed, so I do intend on visiting some of these places as well. In the meantime, if you would like to guzzle up more of the Mind Poppers podcast, consider joining us on our Patreon. It's a good time, okay? We have a new episode every Saturday. It's funny, it's mysterious, it's a little sexy, it's a little grotesque, just like the host, okay? In the meantime, stay woke.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.